This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is The Woods.
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios. Woof.
Grr.
It's Thursday night. This is The Woods, the bear community show for all the bears around the world. And my name is Big Bear Mark. I'm joined in the studio by work experience cub Robbie. How you going, Robbie?
Good. Do we get to all the bears around the world?
Well, by podcast and online.
I knew we had a big fan base.
We've got a... Well, we do. We have a huge fan base. We've got regular listeners in places like Des Moines, Iowa.
That's true.
And there's a couple of people in the UK. And
we had a message
Germany
in from Germany the other
Germany,
day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a huge amount of bears around the world who listen to this podcast, if you listen to the podcast.
Very good.
We're going to have to stop calling you work experience. You've been around too long now. We'll have to find a new...
Well, why do you keep bossing me around then?
Well, that's always going to happen.
Oh, good, good. Otherwise I wouldn't come.
Remember last week's show?
No. Was I here?
Were you? No. Also, off pushing the buttons today is James. Just James. How you going?
Hi, Mark. Hi, guys. Hi, Robbie.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm doing well. I'm pushing buttons and hoping that I don't get pushed around by you.
No, we won't push around, mate.
Only a little bit. Because we all like being pushed around a little bit, don't we, Robbie?
Yeah. don't we, Robbie?
Big Ben, Mike and bosses around, don't you? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Joining us also in the studio tonight is Nate. Hello, Nate. How you going?
G'day. How you going? Good, thanks.
Good. Now, we've got you in the studio tonight to have a chat. We're going to talk about trans men for a little while tonight, and the reason we've got you in the studio is
go on, oh. I know the answer to this one.
You know the answer. Why don't you tell us?
It's like, I'll field this one.
Yeah, because I'm a trans guy.
Exactly right. Let's find out a little bit about you first so people know. Did you start from an early age knowing that you were trans, or was it a later thing in life, or what stage were you when you realised you were trans?
I hadn't even heard of it until my early 20s that it even existed, and I guess I socially transitioned then and medically transitioned shortly after then. But yeah.
Which was 35 years ago, wasn't it, mate?
Not quite. I don't think so.
He's got a thing about age, this guy. I'm starting to wonder.
But no, I don't think it was a great shock to anyone or my family or anything. I've always sort of acted the same, been the same, just made a, you know.
Yeah. How was it for your family when you... So you said they weren't shocked. Was there a reason why they weren't shocked, or that it was just...
I've always been one of the boys. I grew up with my two older brothers and my sister as well, and I don't know, we just thought the boys and I are similar age, always did the same sort of things and, you know.
Yeah. So it was almost like no one was surprised. It was a natural transition.
No, I rang up my mum. This is how I came out to her. I rang her up and I said, oh, mum, I'm giving you a ring because I need a new name. And then she goes, oh, why do you want a boy's name?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She called it. She knew?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah. And I said, I do. And she goes, okay. I said, oh, you know, I want to give you another chance. And she goes, all right. Well, how about Brian?
You said that was your last chance, Mum.
And you said no, obviously.
Mum, Brian was the name of your first husband that you're still a little bit obsessed with. We're not kidding, me called Brian.
Ouch.
And she goes, what about Ryan? I go, Mum, that's Brian without the B. And that's sort of how I came out. I said, chances over. I'm naming myself. And so I did that, and that was about it.
How does one go about choosing their own name?
I don't know. Nate rhymed, you know, rhymed with mate.
So it was just like, yeah, it's something that you felt associated with, and it was like, yeah, that sounds
not
right.
Not really. I just like the sound of it.
Sounds like, yeah. Fair
short,
enough.
Snappy.
Exactly. Now, one of the reasons we got you in tonight is obviously we all know that the work experience cup here, Robbie, his husband is part of the charges, and so are you. You're the vice president, is that correct?
Yeah, as of this year.
That's of this year.
The Melbourne Chargers, the gay rugby club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. How did you get involved with the Chargers in the first place? You've been in the Chargers for, is it 4 years, I believe?
This is my fourth season with them.
Yep. So what, were you into sports before joining the Chargers? Is this something you've always wanted to do? Like, how did you get involved with the Chargers?
I played rugby for the Monash Uni women's team. I played, I half-backed for them for 2 years.
All right.
And then I transitioned straight after that. So that was like 2000, 2001, I think. And I always wanted to play rugby again, and I probably looked at the Chargers for about 3 years before I actually joined them. I was just a bit nervous about how they'd react. So then my mate Donald, who played for us at the time, convinced me to come down and told me he'd have my back if anything happened, whatever. So I came down and, yeah, loved it. So you
did know someone in the club, which was great.
I knew another new guy.
Excellent.
So he didn't...
He wasn't involved in the club at the time.
No, he'd just gone to trainings for a couple of times, but he
was... What was the reaction when you... Now, obviously, I wouldn't imagine you'd turn up and go, hey, I'm trans. you turn up and you do the sessions. What actually happened when you arrived?
Oh, it's a funny story, actually, because I tried to be, like, hide it for a bit and be discreet, and people don't really know unless I tell them. You know, some might pick it because I'm quite short, but that's about it.
There's plenty of short men.
Just because this is not a visual medium, I have to say, Nate, you are one of the hairiest people I know.
We're bears.
Yeah, and we're bears. So
Chewbacca.
It's like, so it would be correct to say you pass very easily. Is that a term that you'd use, or?
I don't mind it. Some people don't like it. Yeah. I don't mind. I'm pretty easy.
So there was a time where you didn't want to... like come out as trans straight away in the team, or?
Yeah, no, I was a bit worried about the reaction. So when I first joined, I didn't want to tell anyone because I guess I sort of wanted to prove myself first and be liked first, or, you know, prove that I was committed before I tell them, just so that was not a factor. But then when I rocked up, my old club was training on the same field with us. So I was trying to run but not face them. Not that any of them would recognise me now. It was like, 15 years ago?
Yeah. I think you look very different probably.
My old captain of our old team was coaching the women's team next to us about 100 metres away.
God.
I was trying to run like...
with your hand against your face. Yeah.
Without falling over.
But I didn't tell anyone. And then the president at the time... asked me to join Facebook to the Melbourne Chargers family page because that's how all the info got distributed, and I told him I didn't have a Facebook.
Okay, so you didn't... Is that true? You didn't?
No,
or you did?
I had one, but...
But you didn't want to...
Well, because I'm quite, like, actively out in my normal life. I thought as soon as they join that, like...
They'll know.
So I avoided that for a week or two, and then I just got over it all and, yeah, told him and joined the team and, yeah.
And so... And from there, it started to unfurl. What were the reactions from people initially?
Mostly, there were some really great guys, and there were some guys that were so, like, schooled on trans stuff, and, like, you didn't have to tell them. Like, you know, one of those guys that was really good was Ash. He was great, and, you know, a few other guys. There was a few people that were a bit, like, strange, or they thought that maybe I shouldn't be a part of the team, but I think that's not because of that was just because of lack of exposure to trans guys and, you know, not
so it was lack of education basically.
Yeah.
They didn't know what.
Not because you're short.
No. I'm jealous I was more hairy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would be true. I am already. I'm seething with jealousy.
I know, so am
I. You've got
a
hairier chest than I've got.
But So did it take a while for everyone? I mean, obviously it took a little while for some people to accept that you were part of the club, but...
I think once the guys knew that, you know, I'd rock up to training and I, you know, cared about the team and wanted to play and I'd hang out with them socially as well, and that... I think they eventually saw, and like most people do, that you're just a regular person. So that no longer becomes an issue if it was. And a few guys have said to me since, like, they did struggle at the start and they feel a bit embarrassed by about that now. And since that, like, we've had other trans people, some out, some not out, that have come to trainings as well.
That's right. You are on the Woods tonight, and we're talking to Nate about trans stuff. Oh, please.
Very transparent show tonight.
We've had a couple of messages in, Nate. Someone wants to know who your best friend is.
Definitely Robbie.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because I believe that message is from Robbie's husband.
Sorry, Dave.
We've got a comment from Brad from Melbourne as well saying, of course you're named Nate. It's Fate.
Rhymes with fate.
Yeah, okay.
That's a bit corny.
We've also got an SMS from someone called Belinda. You know who Belinda is, don't you, Nate?
That's my sister.
That's your sister. And she says, oh, I know heaps of stuff about Nate. So, Belinda, I would very much ask that you send in the most embarrassing thing you know about Nate so we can embarrass him on air.
After 10.
No. Right now. Oh, I think she just did. And she also says that she thought that she was your best friend.
Well, that's true.
Not Robbie. And we also had another one from Dave as well saying, shouldn't you be at dinner or a concert or something? Anyway.
Oops. Someone's diary's not working.
Anyway, not a problem. Soon. I think that was a bit of a faux pas. So, Nate, we were talking about the charges. And now, 4 years is a long time, I suppose, in terms of charges. And you've literally risen through the ranks. And this season, you're the vice president.
It's not hard.
Okay. But
no, I'm joking.
You were part of the Bingham Cup the last time when it was in Sydney.
Yep.
And you had a newspaper article done about you and a whole lot of stuff, didn't you, at that point?
Yeah.
So what was that like, getting some media attention?
I hated it. I was going to say, I normally love talking about myself. It's actually quite nerve-wracking. Same with the paper.
Yeah, so what happened with the paper? Did it?
The guy just wanted to do a story because, well...
Now, were you the only trans participant that we know of in the cup?
Yeah, that we know of, yeah.
Yeah.
So they wanted to report about that, and I said no a bunch of times, and then I decided that, because I was a bit shy, and then I thought that I might be a good thing, like a good role model for some younger guys. So I said yes, and then I was highly anxious after it came out for a while, and then I got over it.
Is there a concern that when you sort of out yourself like that, that other people might find out? I mean, you seem quite open about being trans. Is it something that you worry about if you...
No, I'm pretty open, and I'm, like, you know, I don't carry any, like, I carry it with pride and that. The only thing I was worried about, to be honest, was my job, because, but I thought no one's going to read, like, and put that together, because I work in the, you know, as a tradie, so I was worried that, you know, I'd go to sites and people would be, you know, whatever. But that was the only thing. Yeah. But, no, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Coming up is the next Bingham Cup in Nashville coming up. Have you any idea whether there's more trans competitors this year, or is that something you don't know about yet?
Well, I don't want to out anyone, but I know there's like other guys that have come to training with us. I'm not sure if they're gonna
go.
You know, go to the Bingham Cup, but I think that we might probably see more people coming to. I know a few guys that want to come down and train with us, at least three, and yeah.
And you were saying that, in part, that's part of that you being open about being on the rugby team, that's encouraged some other trans people to come and join as well, or come and train with you.
It is, but it's also, like, the guys on the team are really great too. And, like, we're a pretty inclusive club, and, you know, our president and our guys on the committee are pretty onto all that stuff, and so are the other people, and they're all mates. And
I think that's a credit to you as well, though. You've paved the way a little bit for these guys. You wouldn't talk up yourself a lot, but you have paved the way a little bit and gotten people used to the ideas and gotten people to figure out their own heads and get their own heads around stuff and realise there is no issue here.
Mm. I know, I have to ask him.
We've only met tonight, Nate, for the first time, and I think you're really amazing. I love the relaxed, easygoing nature. I'm just wondering, has it been an easy ride for you? Has there been any stuff that's been challenging?
Yeah, it is, but you tend to forget that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So it's a survival technique. You just get over it and think of the good stuff.
I know that's not everyone's experience, but I've had a really great supportive bunch around me. My sister's amazing. She's like, you know, I had to say that she's listening.
And she's your best friend as well.
But so, like, I'm pretty lucky in that I've got a lot of good mates, a good family, and lots of people have my back. Like, right. not everyone has that. But
so yeah. Have you had any family members that struggled? Have you had any family members that find it difficult?
A little bit at the start. And then I just wrote a big letter saying, wait, you got to basically get over this or...
Yeah, I'll get out of my life.
Sort yeah, of, and yeah. That was received really well. I got, like, heaps of apologies, and then it was fine. But
that's good.
I'm pretty, like, I like to think, my sister's listening, but I like to think I'm pretty respected in my family. So, like, you know, like, yeah, that if I said that I was less weird, they'd be like, yeah, cool. So,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Now, we were talking before the show, and you indicated that you call yourself, well, I don't like a lot of classifications, but if you want to classify yourself, it could be queer is maybe a classification that you use.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that term. Oh, yeah. None of them feel right, but yeah, I'm pretty okay with that.
Yep. How now? I believe you do associate with the bear community quite a bit. I mean, look at you—you're hairy and you know, the typical bear. How have you found the bear community, and what? How did you get into the bear community as well?
I love it. Like, so I sort of left. I left, like, a queer world and more into the bear world, I guess, because of where I drink. Like, I like to drink at Circuit and the Laird, and I like hanging out with the guys. I really like the body positivity stuff in the bear scene as well. And also, if I'm being honest, like, I sort of I fit in there a little bit because I am hairy, so I can wear singlet. Yeah. I've got mates. No, I'm joking. But, like, I don't know. It's an easy bunch to hang out with and, yeah, friendly and accepting, so I found it a group I like to hang around with.
That's great. Yeah. Look, I have got a little bit distracted. Your sister sent in a photo, and I want to see it in a second.
Lucky we're on radio.
Yeah, lucky we were on radio.
It's
exactly.
A shame. It's a shame it's not a visual medium.
Yeah, there's always Facebook. So with the bear community, so you felt did you have any problems with the bear community at all? Are you out as a trans man in the bear community? Is that something that you talk to people about?
I am, but only if it's I am, like, oh, it's weird. Like, I have to out myself because you know, like,
you wouldn't know, as we said before, you wouldn't know that you're a trans man.
Yeah, but it's definitely not something I hide, not at all. I'm pretty proud. I'm pretty open about it.
What about dating, Nate? Like, I don't know your personal details, and you may not want to talk about them on air, but...
Well, I'm available for dates. That's why I came in tonight.
0427, join 949.
I'm free tomorrow night. But is that ever a challenge? Like, has it ever been difficult?
Well, I don't know. Like, yeah, you caught me off the side
now. Has it come under that, like you said, those bad experiences, you just... move on, you forget them and you move
I just on. Don't really do a lot out of it. I don't know. It's something I've been thinking about doing more of, but yeah, I just don't, yeah.
And work-wise, no challenge. You said that for a while you were concerned about coming out at work. Is that easy now?
Oh, it just doesn't come up, really.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
That's amazing, yeah. We do this thing, I guess. We kind of imagine all sorts of problems, and the bad stuff is what gets the media. We know how the media love a, you know, gloomy story. It's so nice to hear, you know, someone working through and not even having issues. I think that's brilliant.
It confuses me sometimes when people think it's a big deal, and it is, but, like, it's also, like, just nothing, really.
Do you have any connections with other trans youth? Do you get involved in any of the charities and organisations around?
Oh, I'm pretty bad trans guy like that, not really.
No, I'll take that as a no, though. That's a no.
Yeah, like, I work with you. Like, I work in youth homelessness as well.
Right.
I study social work, so I do that at least once a week, sometimes twice a week.
Right.
So I work with some LGBT youth there, but I don't go out and... No, I mean, I'm open to it, but I don't... Yeah. I'm pretty busy with the rugby and the other stuff.
And I think, you know, one of the best kind of role models you can have is someone leading a life that's just a life. Just and it's not even an issue. Yeah. I think it's brilliant.
Exactly. We've just opened that photo, and it is of you with some very unusual face paint on, by the way, which we will put up on our Facebook page later.
No. consent for that?
Your sister gave us consent.
See? You know that waiver you signed on the way in?
Yeah, exactly. And she also basically said it's pretty typical of you, and that she and the family loves you to bits as well.
Oh, thanks.
That's all good.
Kind of confirms what you're saying about how you've got a great family, supportive family.
Yeah, they're all right.
They're all right. Look, Nate, it's getting to that point in the show that I think you're going to have to take off on us, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me.
You obviously have somewhere to be. But look, we do appreciate you coming into the show and talking about your story. And, I mean, if someone wanted to get in touch with the Chargers and come along, how do they do that?
You can tell them to email myself at nate@melbournechargers.com.au or join our family page, or you can chat to Robbie here. He knows some ways in.
So you can always email us at thewoods@joy.org.au and we'll pass that on to Nate.
And if there is any young trans fellas listening that do want to come down and train and have a go, it's a pretty good environment and, you know, it's good for that. So
that's fantastic. Really, if you're interested, go for it. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
And, while we're here, I think the other sporting team has just joined up, the Wranglers. They're pretty trans-friendly as well, too.
Like, they're the wrestling team, aren't they?
Yeah, and there's a lot of guys from our team that are on that committee, and they're pretty onto stuff as well, so...
Yeah. All over each other, I'd imagine.
So if you're a wrestler or a rugby enthusiast, you're in.
Exactly. Run around, but yeah.
All right, Nate, look, thank you very much for joining us today. You are on the Woods on Joy 94.9. Now, on the line, we have the lovely, the talented Michelle from Transpositions. Hey, Michelle, how are you going tonight?
I'm doing good. Resident Mama Bear on the phone.
Exactly right. And look, you had a big week, Michelle, I have to say.
Superstar.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a week, actually. A lot's been going on. Tuesday night, we had the episode air with my daughters and I for SBS Insight.
You're beautiful girls.
Yes, and it was a great show, I have to say. And you did it amazingly, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you. There was actually so much that was said that didn't get aired, and obviously they cut it to keep it short around the school stuff with the kids and stuff like that as the one challenge, but I felt it delivered really well.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it was, and I have to say, it was very interesting to hear the stories of the loved ones of trans people. I think it's something that I hadn't thought of really a lot before. Not being in that situation myself, but I know you and a few other trans people. How was the experience for you being in the studio and talking about the loved ones? I mean, obviously they did ask you about your ex-partner and how she reacted to it. How was that process and how did you feel about that?
I felt it was a narrative that hasn't been told before, and that's what I was really attracted to it by. And it was great for people to... I have found that whenever you come out, first thing people ask is, how are the kids? And for people to see how happy my daughters were in this space, and to actually hear my daughters, you know, saying she's daddy, but she's she and her, and all of us just normal, showing a normal family. We're doing normal things, and that's what people needed to see. But being there in the studio and hearing all these other different stories, the one that really broke my heart was the woman that was there on her own, and her ex-partner, Cindy, had run off. And you didn't hear the full story behind off air, which I won't go into, but it was quite heartbreaking. And it was sort of a stereotypical story that you hear in transition, and sometimes it becomes quite selfish and the person just leaves.
Yeah.
Where... I've always preached a different story, a different approach, and you could see it really paying off in the faces of my little girls and the way they just smiled.
Mm. Now, did your girls get to see the episode?
Yes, they did. They sat with their mom and they watched it. And mind you, at the time of the filming, the things that they had brought up around the school and stuff like that was such a sore point for all of us. And the girls and my ex and I and everything, we worked through it. It's still a bit of a sore point, but we're working through that. And if that's my only issue I have with my ex, well, then you know what? I'm lucky girl.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing very well.
That is true. So, how did this all happen? How did they approach you, or was it through a network, or how did they actually approach you?
Well, they put an ad out on Facebook, and some people had said, Michelle, you need to get involved in this, but you and your kids and whatever. And I called them on the phone, and the lady was just like, I told her a bit of my story, and she was like, oh, my God, I need to get you on this show. And they twisted into everything they could. If my ex had actually been involved, we probably would have been sitting in the chairs as well. But because it was just my kids and I, and the kids couldn't come to the studio, that was the only way we could really do it.
Yeah. And, well, I have to say, you got a lot of airtime anyway, you know, even if you weren't sitting in those chairs. But have you had a reaction from your ex about this as well?
Yeah, she felt it didn't really paint her in the best of lights, and I've made sure to make sure I was communicating on Facebook of our relationship now and that things are okay, and it's not meant to paint her in a bad light, but it's just one of many stories that you hear out there. And if anything, our story is a great story to be used as part of the Safe School Coalition issues that are going on now.
Yeah.
Because everyone focuses so much on the children who are part of LGBT spectrum, but they don't talk about the kids, those whose family members, like myself, coming to school. Very few trans parents would be popping into school to take the kids to school. And so the kids would be dealing with bullying and all these other things. So the Safe School is not only looking after kids who are LGBT, but the children of LGBT families.
Yeah. And the families as well. You're talking about the families. It's very important.
Right,
I think
exactly.
I hear Michelle, because I did feel for that woman. And it was repeated in a couple of cases where there was a lot of, well, not a lot, but there's some support for the people going through the transition and nothing for the partners that get left behind. And there was
exactly
a clear, the woman that started, I've forgotten her name, but there were some really teary-eyed moments for her, and her partner and she are still together, but there's still a grief issue, isn't there? There's still a sense of loss for those people.
Of course, and we caught up with them before on the show recently, on our show on Transposition,
yeah.
And you know they're working through it. I think she's smiling a bit more and using a bit more humor to deal with the problem. But unfortunately, again, you know, as we've talked so many times with yourself, Mark, that you know I've always preaching a different story, and my journey has always been a little different, and I always preach the method of integration and not necessarily transition. So when people are showing photos of me on this show and saying, well, you were Daniel then and you're Michelle now, I don't cringe or have an issue with that because I'm still, in a lot of ways, I'm still Daniel. But because of who I've become and how I've developed, you know, I'm integrating the best parts of myself. Mm. And I just choose to put my Michelle side forward, and I am Michelle.
And I think just from the show as well, I mean, a lot of trans people that, their story is different, though. Their story is that they don't associate with their past life or their other gender. Is this a common thing that you're finding when you're talking to people on transposition? Is it how many people, like, is there a split about people who do transition and, like, forget their past and people like yourself who embrace their past as part of the going forward?
There's a mix. Transition, being transgender and transitioning is a different story, a different journey for everyone. I wish it was so cookie cutter. I honestly wish. I mean, it'd be so much easier being gay in my mind. But I think it just comes down to the struggles that we had and how we rise above. So many people like, no, like if you already use myself as a case, like, no, I am not Daniel. I never was Daniel. I was just forced upon me as Daniel and the job I have and the career I have is not, I'm not Daniel anymore and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm like, no way. I worked hard for that. I'm still Daniel. I'm still this person. And my children were part of, you know, that. And this is what my life is.
Yeah. And that was one of the very interesting things I think you said on the program was that you earned that title of dad, that you earned that title of daddy. And there's no way you're giving that up.
And, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
I can relate.
And I love it. Like, it counts me every time we go out.
I can relate to that, Michelle. As a gay man who was married, you know, and had a kid, my dad made a big fuss about when I left my partner and that somebody else would come along and my daughter might call them dad. And I was very clear that dad is something that you earn. It's a privilege that
exactly.
you earn. And no one can take that away. I mean, I haven't been in the home with my daughter from the age of about 3 years old. But I'm her dad. I'm absolutely her dad, and there's no question of that. So I
admire that. Freeze over before that's taken.
Exactly, exactly. It's something that we really are, you know. And I can understand that there'd be some issues for you with that too.
Mm.
So, Michelle, are you getting recognised on the street now? It's like people coming up to you going, you were on the show the other night.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, not so much from inside. At work and stuff, I had people coming up to me going, oh, my God, I saw the show the other night. I didn't really broadcast it too much. I kind of just kept a bit quiet about it, and I did push it in a few different places, but I didn't. I guess I've just been so busy doing transition stuff and stuff being a parent that I just, yep, cool, there it is, awesome, go ahead and watch.
So what have the comments been like at work? I take it they've been mainly positive.
Oh, completely positive. Everyone's like, oh, my God, so awesome. Your daughter's just so lovely, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I wanted people to see. I wanted people to see happy children with a trans parent. This is the thing that the media has not shown or done very much. They'll show a trans woman getting into a fight, and her face bashed up from ignorant comments she's saying in a bar, and a fight that's brawled out. Oh, the trans woman got beaten. But they're not showing positive stories of a parent who's actually living their life like this. And I need people to see this and say, hey, I'm not a deviant who's going to be in the toilets. I'm a parent who's going in with my daughters, doing our business and getting out and seeing that there's a happy family. And that's what one of my main goals here in all of this.
Yeah, and we had something really similar. I don't know if you were able to hear that. Our guest earlier was Nate. And one of the things that Nate talked about, and he was very clear about, was that he just lives an ordinary life. You know, there's nothing dramatic, there's nothing melodramatic, there's no dark side to his life. He just lives an ordinary life. And the media don't like that. I mean, that's not good story. That's not good story.
No, not at all. And when people really loosen their minds on different things on the interwebs, I'm constantly approaching different media groups like the Ethics Center over the IQ Square debate that happened up in Sydney, that people were, the trans people were sending death threats to the center.
Yeah.
And I'm calling them up going, please, can you... I know this is hard, but these are some people who are really struggling right now. And please, I hope I'm being a good example to show that we are worth this fight, to have this debate, that we really need to have a voice. And these are things I'm stepping up to do to kind of have a better face and be a better representation of the community. But it's funny, though, you're talking about being identified because of the radio show and the other things I'm doing. It was funny, we had an email that came through today from the U.S., telling us about our podcast and how it was messed up. And this person goes, oh, my God, Michelle, you responded to me. You responded to me. Oh, my God, I was just listening to you on air. And I'm going, yeah, dude, I do this radio show. Like, I didn't think anything of it. But where I get stopped in the street at Burke Street Mall by people going, oh, Michelle, oh, my God, Michelle, Michelle. And I'm like, hi.
Catch up or relive all the Woods has to offer. Listen to the Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
Sorry about that, Michelle. We do that every episode. Look, the one thing we sort of touched on before, Michelle, a little bit, was the Safe Schools Coalition. And, of course, today there was a huge rally in Melbourne, basically protesting to save the Safe Schools Coalition. Do you think this is a program that could get extended to family members like who are affected with sexual diverse issues?
I think this is something, I think it's an amazing program. We've interviewed almost everyone involved with Safe Schools Coalition on our show. There's a series we did starting at the beginning of the year on our podcast that people can find where it's back to school. And we talked from everyone from the young trans children who are 10 and under to teenager and a representative with the organization who helped actually conduct the transition within the school, and teaching the teachers, teaching the parents and the principals, et cetera. And it's very positive messages we've gotten from it. Now, if they end up losing the funding and losing it, I will be completely surprised. They've done amazing things. And it isn't just for the kids who identify as LGBT. There are kids who are allies, who are part of some of these groups that are put together in some of the schools. And so, like, my children, for example, being the children of a trans parent, well, they need to have this support as well, and saying, we need to educate the school. Because when my daddy comes in, she wants to come in and be part of the school, but I need people to understand who and what she is.
Yeah, that was a really, I was a really touching part of the show, Michelle, when you talked about having to go back to being a man to get into the school for a while. I was really moved.
That was
by
a horrible.
Yeah,
that was very horrible. I ended up standing there in the school lot, and you know, I actually worked myself up to it. It was like the day before I was working from home, and I had to bind my breasts and dress a certain way, and put on a jumper, and put a ball cap on, and tie my hair up, and I had a meeting with somebody who I see as sort of a life coach, who's a bit of a counselor for me, and she helped talk me through while I was dressed back as Daniel.
Yeah,
it was really hard. It was very confronting, and being forced to be in that being like that is hard. If I've got a day where I put a ball cap on and a grungy T-shirt, or I'm in a boy day, well, that's just my prerogative. We all dress and do what we want, but to be forced into that. Mm, yeah. Now, I was there in the school lot.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. It wasn't the school that forced you, was it?
No, it was a situation with my ex. My ex was so worried about the kids being bullied. And sometimes I find that if you're actually trying to control a situation, you make a situation worse.
Yeah.
So instead of actually educating the school and trying to bring in groups like Safe Schools or try to educate them, it's like, no, let's shut this down. I don't want my kids being hurt. But in a lot of ways, the kids were hurt worse because we did this. And I'm standing there, and parents are approaching me going, oh, you know, Michelle, you're so proud of you. Congrats on coming out and whatever. And here I am dressed as a man.
Yeah.
They're dressing me as Michelle, but I'm dressed as a man. And I'm standing there going, this is not right.
Yeah, that would have been heartbreaking.
My kids didn't like it.
Yep.
They hated it. My kids were pissed off.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing about kids these days, and I'm not just talking about your kids, I'm talking about kids in general, is that they're more accepting than anyone else, you know.
They are.
You know, you talk to kids these days, and they're cool with anything, basically. Mm. In fact, they're probably, at that stage, they are interested in what is going on around in the world, and they want to learn about stuff, and it's the perfect age for things like the Safe Schools Coalition to explain what is going on as well.
Exactly. And I've had kids be at my daughter's house with their mom, and they're like, oh, so where's your dad? Is that your dad? Is your dad dressed like a woman? Yeah, well, my dad didn't feel well, and she took some medicine, and now she's a girl, and she feels so much better now.
Hmm.
Oh, okay, cool. And then the kids go back to bouncing on the trampoline. No big deal.
Yeah. And that's kind of it. It's like, and this is a message that I get time and time again with people I interview, is that, you know, people are so worried about what the kids will think. Mm. And it's like, the kids are fine. It's not the kids that have the problem. It's the adults. Yeah. The adults are the ones that have the problem.
Playing devil's advocate just for a little while, though, Michelle, and forgive me for this, because, you know, as a parent and the bullying
issue. I love devil's advocate. I'll ask anything.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, as a parent, I remember when my daughter was at school, and bullying's been around for a long time. It's horrible. As a parent, you want to protect your kids from that. And I can kind of understand a little bit about, you know, where your ex was coming from. However, I think it really speaks to the compassion that you both, you know, you're working to, that you were prepared to do that for her.
Yeah, exactly. I was prepared. And I've had so many people say to me, you shouldn't do that. How dare you? You shouldn't do that. You're bowing down. You're not being true to yourself. And I'm like, no, I'm looking after my kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And I totally understand. Kids are cruel. Adults are cruel.
Yeah.
And I totally agree and understood where my ex is coming from. But I felt that we weren't being true. We needed to educate more than actually trying to squash it, because eventually it's going to have to be totally, like, these people see me down at the shop. They see me at the dance classes. They see me everywhere.
Yep.
And that's it. They see you in other places. That, like, and it was probably a shock to them to see you not as Michelle, really.
Exactly. It's to me and to the kids.
And teenagers can be cruel too. I mean, it's going to happen at any age. It doesn't matter what age the girls are. They're going to have to deal with the stigma that we know exists.
Exactly. And, you know, and I sit down with my kids regularly, saying, how are things going? how are you feeling? Everything okay? Do you still okay with daddy, you know, being a girl and blah, blah, blah? And, and the girls and I, we have a great intellectual conversation. Then we argue over them not cleaning the room, but, you know.
And whether to have sushi made or whether you have sushi homemade or bought, we'll go with homemade.
Yeah. and so the girls are great. And then my daughters are quite strong. They're standing up saying, yeah, that's my dad. If you have a problem with it, just it's none of your business. And my daughters are being so strong and so amazing. I've seen them put 40-year-old men in their place, reminding them, her name is Michelle. Michelle was doing this, and it's I'm so proud of them.
Yeah,
exactly.
I've got a quick question for you, Michelle. I've been on the media lately. We've heard a bit about, you know, Caitlyn Jenner and her speaking for women, and then opposite to that, you've got people like Kate McGregor, who's, you know, quite a different kettle of fish. Have there been any real, like, important role models for you? You know, people that you've kind of looked up to and admired.
In the beginning of all of this, I remember reading some things by Janet Mock, and she really stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some things by Caitlyn Jenner that she had said in the very beginning of transition, where she said, some of these people can't handle all of this, but I can. I'm here. I'm standing up. If you want to ask questions, if you want to deal with stuff, you come to me because I can deal with this. And this is when she was receiving, I believe, an award for, like, Woman of the Year or something like that.
Yep.
And that really stood out to me. Also, Kate McGregor, I'm still dying to meet her. She, I think it's brilliant to have somebody in her position being transgender. I just, you know, admire people in, like, the military and standing up within politics the way she is. And she just holds herself so elegantly.
She does.
And for me, you know, I would love to be a role model myself to some of these younger trans children that are coming out, too, to show them that you can be a positive woman, a positive individual, you can hold a job, you can have a family, and nothing can stop you.
He's certainly a role model around Joy. I know that whenever you're in the studio, there's a kind of a warmth and a lovely feeling. And you were really, I don't know if you remember this, but you were a really important part of my engaging with Joy. And you were so warm and friendly. You're a role model for sure. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Look, I think we've run out of time, Michelle. But look, thank you very much for joining us. What's happening on Transpositions next week?
Oh, my God. I'm totally, at this point, I have no idea. We've got so much stuff booked out for coming up that it's been an absolute amazing beginning of the year. And I tell you, we have got some people lined up that we're now meeting at this point that you see people like Jen Richards from a YouTube series from her story. You're going to see people. We're in the middle of talking to people, but to get in touch with Kate McGregor. We're in the middle of all these amazing people that you're going to see some great stuff coming from the show.
Oh, you need to get the Wachowski sisters on as well now.
Oh, my God. If I could pull that off.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
All right, look, thank you very much, Michelle, and thank you for joining us tonight and talking about your experience on SBS.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's so lovely to come play with you in the woods.
Lovely. Thank you. This is The Woods, and it's to come to the end of the show. So I want to thank Robbie, Work Experience Robbie. How are you going?
Good. What a great show.
It was a great show, wasn't
fun.
It?
I learned a lot tonight. I think it was, I mean, it's great to get some of those different life views in there. So,
it's great. And thank you very much for pushing the buttons tonight, James.
No problem. It's a pleasure. I've learned a lot too, actually, tonight.
Sure. It's been fantastic. And also, just quickly, in the studio, Becky Risdeen's just joined us.
Yay! We missed
very special guest.
We missed you.
I snuck in.
We missed you tonight. What's happening on Cheap Seats tonight?
On the Cheap Seats tonight, we are doing a queer poetry.
Oh, lovely.
It's very interesting.
So not slam, just queer poetry.
Well, it's queer and it's slam and it's going off.
A bit of everything.
Any limericks? I love limericks.
No limericks. Maybe next week.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Thank you very much. Join me on at 6:30 on Monday morning with Luke and Robbie as well for the Brekkie Bears. This has been The Woods. We'll see you next week.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.